Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Pull it up on your phone, your tablet. Romans chapter 6. This morning's sermon's title is Baptism: How, Why, and Who. So we're talking about baptism this morning. And I just want to say at the start, I'm really indebted to a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, Jason D. He's a pastor in Atlanta. Because as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across some of his teaching that was just really helpful. And so I'm thankful for Jason's rich study in God's Word. My freshman year, I was on the freshman basketball team. And I don't know if you experienced this, some kind of hazing as you came into school or, you know, into college or anything like this, or some kind of initiation rite. But for me, with the basketball team, and I could even call the guys' names to this day, they were seniors. And one day after practice, sure enough, they took me and a couple of the other freshmen and stuffed us in one of those large garbage cans. It was pretty harmless. Nobody broke a bone, and there weren't any kind of weeping and gnashing of teeth or anything like that. But I just felt like, okay, that's my initiation. You know, that's my hazing. I got it done. And hopefully you haven't experienced anything more intense than that. In college, it was the shaving of my head. So I got my head shaved, and I was scared to death it was going to grow back bald. I know. But I always, you know, like growing up, even though I grew up in the church, I kind of thought of baptism that way. I kind of thought, you know, isn't that what baptism is? It's kind of like this initiation right into the church. And I mean, let's just be honest, baptism is kind of weird. It's kind of strange. Most of what we've done this morning, you don't find strange. I mean, you've been to lectures where someone got up and they spoke, and people sat there and listened, right? You've been in places where prayers are given before a ball game or something like that. And so as we prayed, you're like, okay, I know what's going on here. That I'm tracking. That was a prayer. You've been to concerts, right? And so this morning, as we sang, maybe you were, you know, singing a little bit, or maybe you were just kind of listening to the music, and maybe it felt a little like a concert for you. But next week, we're actually going to fill a trough of water. And we're going to invite this little gal to step in it, and then I'm going to take her under the water and then bring her back up out of the water. And wouldn't you say that's a little strange? I mean, like, maybe you've observed swimming lessons. You know, I mean, like, baptism like that is nothing like a swimming lesson. It's just a little odd. Now, many of you grew up in church, and so you grew up kind of understanding seeing baptism, or at least it was normal to you. It wasn't a foreign idea. But if you grew up in church, I want to invite you this morning to think about, what if I never stepped foot in a church ever? And what if I'd never seen a movie where there was some sort of baptism ritual? And I walked into a church for the first time, and they sang, and they prayed, and the guy got up there and preached. And then at the end, someone got in water, and they took them under the water and brought them up out of the water. And you had never seen that in your life before. Wouldn't you find that a little strange? I mean, let's just acknowledge that's a little odd. Now, some of you grew up in faith traditions where your baptism experience was a little different. Maybe it was a sprinkling as a baby, something like that. And for you, that may be a really meaningful event to your family, that took place in your life when you were a child. And I want to celebrate that with you this morning. I want to celebrate those steps along the way that were meaningful in your journey and meaningful in your life and meaningful perhaps for your family that took place in your journey. But this morning, I want to invite you to consider this. Are you a believer and a follower of Jesus? And if you are, is Jesus inviting you to publicly tell others that you are a believer and follower in Jesus? Is he inviting you to tell others through baptism by immersion? So that's what we're talking about this morning, is baptism. So I just want to start off by answering the question, how do we baptize? And so here's how we baptize. We baptize by immersing the individual underwater and bringing them up out of the water. Now, I want to point to a couple of scripture passages where we actually see this taking place, because if you grew up in a different faith tradition, I want you to think seriously about whether or not the scriptures, the sacred scriptures, God's holy word, would call you to be baptized now as an adult believer or as a teenage believer. So maybe something happened for you when you were young in a different faith tradition. And so let's bring that first verse up here, and I just want to look at this on the screen. This was Jesus's baptism, and so we're answering the question, how are we baptized? And so here in Matthew 3, verse 16, Matthew records Jesus's baptism, and I want you just to notice this. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. You see the picture there of Jesus being baptized? He was in the water, and he came up out of the water. Do you see that? Now, I know that might feel a little elementary here, but I just want to paint a picture. I just want you to have a visual image of when the Bible talks about baptism. What exactly is the Bible talking about? And so here, Jesus' baptism, we see that Jesus came up out of the water. Well, this next text is in the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he records this instance where there was this Ethiopian man, and he was reading the scripture, and he didn't know what it meant, and someone came along and taught him what God's word meant. And he said, well, I need to be baptized because I'm a believer in Jesus, so I need to be baptized. And they came along, and there was water. And he said, what prevents me from being baptized? So he was baptized as soon as he became a believer in Jesus. And we see this here. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Now, I just submit to you that if God desired baptism to be just where we just kind of poured water on our head or sprinkled water on our head or something like that, I don't mean to disrespect any faith tradition, but if that's what God intended for baptism to be, it seems like why go to the trouble of having the Ethiopian eunuch get all wet here and like go all the way down into the water, right? Why not just let the guy go get a scoop up, you know, with a jar and just bring it and pour it on his head? But instead there was water, and they went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, and they came up out of the water. Do you see the imagery? Do you see that? So there's a going down into the water, there's a coming up out of the water. And so I just submit to you this morning, as you consider baptism and whether or not you ought to be baptized, if you're a follower of Jesus, that I think this is what the scripture teaches through Jesus' baptism. We observe it in the Ethiopian eunuch here. But I want to talk now about why baptism. Why should we consider baptism? I was talking with Susan, and I was asking her, I was like, have you noticed anybody lately that's gotten married and like shared it on Facebook, you know, or something like that? And she said, well, actually, our friend Rachel in Texas just posted. And so there's a picture, I think, of Rachel's engagement. Can we go to that second picture? There it is. Don't you just love this? This is our friend Rachel. And there it is, October 20th. She told the world she got married. Isn't this great? Can you imagine if you got engaged and your future spouse is kind of watching your social media and you don't change anything? And like you're on social media all the time, you know, like you're always posting, you're posting what you're eating, you're posting how you're feeling, you know, you're posting political rants, please stop, okay? But you're posting all these things, right? You're posting all this stuff on social media, but you fail to post the fact that you just got engaged. And your future spouse was like, hey, when are you going to tell the world? When are you going to tell everybody? So this is our friend Rachel, and she got married, and sure enough, there it is. She told the world she got. Can you imagine if you got married and your status on Facebook was single and your spouse changes theirs to married, and you can follow it all the way down, and there you come to your profile because they're married to you and they tag you, you know? They just lay out all the personal stuff right out there, right? They want to tell the world because they're thrilled they're married to you, but then you kind of hold back and you don't tell. I've never met anybody that's active on social media that doesn't want to tell the world when they get engaged or they get married. It's like, no, I want everybody to know. Why? Because this is a big deal. I got engaged. I got married. Now, we want to celebrate this morning because one of our own, the gal who's actually running the slides this morning, look at this next picture, that's her hand, and she got engaged. Was it yesterday, Lauren? Lauren and Alex, stand up in the back. Stand up. All right, you guys, give it up. Now, Alex, she did say finally this morning when she came in. She's like, finally. Hey, we keep it real. Keep it real. That's our mantra, right? All right. So here, Lauren, and if you visit her Facebook page, I think I snagged this one off Instagram, but if you visit her Facebook page, it's all out there. Got engaged, the little official, you know, mark, and then there's all these pictures, and it's beautiful. It's just like, man, I'm telling the whole story. I want everybody to know I'm engaged to this man, this hunk of a man, this brave, bold man. Well, that's kind of what baptism is. I mean, it's kind of what baptism is. Baptism is you have a real encounter with Jesus, the Son of God. Baptism is Jesus steps into your life and he begins to transform your life from the inside out. Baptism is Jesus finally becomes real to you. The light bulb goes off. You've heard about Jesus forever, but now you know Jesus personally. You carried your own burden of sin and shame for a really long time, but the light bulb finally went off. And you realize, wow, Jesus really will forgive me. When he was buried, he really did put my shame under the ground. And when he rose from the dead, he left my shame in the grave. The light bulb goes off for you. You repent of sin. You say, no longer am I the king of my life. Jesus is my new king. I'm receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He's forgiven me of my sin. My sin is now removed as far as the east is from the west. The scripture says there's no condemnation for me now because I've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, and I just want to keep that to myself. No, baptism is I want to tell everybody. I want to identify with Jesus, and I want to tell the church, and I want to tell the world. I don't want to keep this to myself. I want everybody to know Jesus loved me, the unlovable. Jesus saved me, the despicable. Jesus turned his affection toward me, the rebel. And I want everybody to know grace is amazing because Jesus loves me. That's what baptism is. Baptism is telling everybody, Jesus loves me. Jesus saved me. But what exactly are we declaring through baptism? What is it that baptism, by immersion, what is it that it's declaring? Well, water, throughout the scriptures, was a symbol of judgment. Water was a symbol of judgment. So you start reading in the book of Genesis and you read the story of Noah. When you read the book of Genesis, reading through chapter 6 through 9, what you see is that God was grieved by the wickedness that was on the earth. God's heart broke that people were so evil. And God turned his righteous wrath toward the earth. And he sent a flood. Now that's a hard truth for a lot of people, is that sinners are worthy of God's wrath. God is holy. And one of the reasons why we have difficulty acknowledging that we deserve God's judgment and we deserve God's wrath is because we don't know how holy God is. And when we don't know how holy God is, we don't understand how sinful we are. But this is the reality, this is the story, is that God sent a flood in his wrath because of the wickedness of the earth, of the people. God gave humanity what humanity deserved, his judgment. But God is a gracious God. And God spared Noah and his family. Noah wasn't sinless. He was blameless. He found favor with God. God turned his gracious heart toward Noah. And so Noah builds an ark. And God used this ark as a means of salvation for Noah. God saved Noah and his family. So even while God was pouring out his wrath on sinful humanity, he was graciously saving Noah. But water was a picture of his judgment towards sin and towards sinners. And then we come to Moses. Moses was the leader of the people of Israel, God's chosen people. And God's chosen people were enslaved in Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt, and they were crying out to be released from slavery. And Moses was speaking to God on behalf of his people, and they escape, and they go running out of Egypt, and then they come to the Red Sea. And they're blocked. And here comes the Egyptian army coming upon the people of God. Some of you feel that way today, don't you? You just have enemies coming into your life. It may not be people. It may be stresses at work. And that's what the people of God felt, is their enemies. They were real people. The Egyptians were coming at them. And you know the story, don't you? Maybe you don't. It's a miracle what God did. God told Moses that he's going to split the Red Sea and that the people of God were going to be able to walk through the sea on dry land, and that Moses just needed to lift his staff up. So Moses lifts his staff up, and this is what God does. God sends a big wind and he blows the sea in half, and God's people walk through on dry land. And here come the Egyptians, those that hated God's people, those that had held God's people in slavery, and God's people get through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians come through after them, and the winds stop, and the waters come in judgment upon Egypt. And once again, water is a sign of judgment. So God spared his people, but his judgment came upon the wicked Egyptians. Next week, I'm starting a sermon series through the book of Jonah. If you've never read the book of Jonah, you can read it in one sitting. It's an exciting book. I encourage you to start reading. In the book of Jonah, many of you know the story, but if you don't, God sent Jonah out of Israel to a place called Nineveh to go and preach to Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city, but Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want to obey God. And so Jonah began to run in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He began to run away from God. And so God, he gets on a boat, going to Tarshish, away from Nineveh, and God sends a storm. He sends a storm that's so mighty and so great that the sea began to get really crazy chaotic. And all the sailors on the ship are freaking out, and they begin to throw things overboard. And then Jonah said, hey, I know what's causing the storm. I know what's causing the storm. I'm disobeying God, and it's God's judgment. And if you throw me overboard, you're going to be fine. And they did. They threw him overboard. And as soon as they throw Jonah overboard, you know what happens? It stopped. The storm stopped. Another sign of God's judgment of the storm in the sea. And yet, a whale came along. And if you're interested in this story, we're starting it next week. You don't want to miss this. But a real giant whale came along and swallowed Jonah and saved his life. Because they threw him overboard in the middle of the ocean, and he would have drowned, but God saved him in his grace. So here's another picture of God's judgment and his grace. His judgment being seen in water, and his grace through the whale. Well, then, hundreds of years later, Jesus comes onto the scene. And John the Baptist was preaching. And John the Baptist was preaching, preparing the way for Jesus. And John the Baptist was saying, repent, repent, and be baptized, repent, and be baptized. And John the Baptist was using words like, you brood of vipers, you snakes. And John the Baptist was accurate. Because that's what I am, and that's what you are. We're snakes. And John the Baptist is saying, repent. Stop being a snake and come and I'll baptize you. And Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus says, John, would you baptize me? And John the Baptist is like, no way, Jesus. I'm not baptizing you. I'm baptizing the snakes that are repenting. And you're the Son of God. You're the Holy Son of God. You're the righteous Son of God. You're the compassionate, loving Son of God. I need to be baptized by you, John said to Jesus. And Jesus said, no. I came to identify with the snakes. I came and I left the glory of heaven to become a man so that I could identify with the liars and I could identify with the thieves and I could identify with those that are filled with anger and rage, and I could identify with the lustful, and I could identify with sinners and snakes. And Jesus said, baptize me, John. Baptize me so I can identify with the snakes. So take me under the water, John, so that my baptism is a picture of judgment. And what Jesus was actually telling forward was he was actually going to die. He was giving a picture of what was going to happen in his own life. So he's like, John, baptize me, because when you take me under the water, I'm predicting what's about to come. I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again. And that's the gospel, is that Jesus died for sin and he rose from the dead. And so he was baptized to identify with us. And so water is this picture of judgment. So that when we are now baptized, it's this awesome picture of when we're taken under the water, we're saying we should have received the judgment of God. We should have received the judgment of God. But when we feel that hand under our back and at the back of our head bring us up out of the water, we're reminded Jesus rose from the dead, and by his Spirit, he's given us new life. And because I'm in Christ, I'll never have to taste the judgment of God. That's what baptism says. That's why baptism is so meaningful. It's not like this weird initiation rite, you know, of like, hey, you know, Jesus died for you, so we're just going to get you wet, and like everybody needs to do it, and everybody's got to do it. No, we're snakes. We're wicked. We deserve the judgment of God, but God is gracious. And he absorbed his own judgment through his son Jesus. And so when we're baptized, we're celebrating. Jesus took my death. I'm now free. I'm now righteous. I now have the love of God on me. Do you see it? Do you see it? Now, it may be that when you were a kid, you were a genuine follower of Jesus and you were baptized. And you didn't understand all that. Maybe when you were 7 years old, you repented of your sins and you became a Christian, but you didn't understand everything that I just said. And so maybe right now in your mind you're going, oh my goodness, I just understand it all so much more clearly, that going under the water is like this picture of judgment of what I deserved and what Jesus did. And when I come out of the water, it's this picture of God's grace to me. He's raised me to walk a new life, and I understand it so much better now. Maybe I need to be baptized again. Maybe that's what you're thinking. So I want to move to the question of who should get baptized. Who should get baptized? So let me just kind of work through this list of who should not get baptized, and then we'll talk about who should get baptized. People that should not get baptized, let's start, people that are not yet Christians. Maybe you're here this morning and you're on a spiritual journey and you kind of like what's going on and you're drawn to come back and you like these people and you kind of want to be a part of real life, but you're not yet a follower of Jesus. We're so glad you're here. We can't wait for the day that you take that step of faith and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you should delay being baptized until you take that step of faith in receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the wrath of God has not yet been removed from you. And you've not yet received the free grace of God. And so if you're not yet a Christian, you shouldn't be baptized, because baptism doesn't save you. The water doesn't wash away your sin. That's what Jesus does. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, is the one that brings us into a right relationship with God. And baptism is us telling everybody on Facebook, I'm a Christian. Jesus saved me. I deserved judgment, but I received grace, right? So if you're not yet a Christian, you shouldn't be baptized yet. You also shouldn't be baptized if you're trying to be religious. So when I was a little boy, I grew up in the church, and I got to see all these things going on before me. And we would always have these moments where we take Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. And these little cups would get passed around, and the little bread, and we'll celebrate that here at Real Life Sango as well. But what the scriptures really teach is that baptism is this first step that you take as a follower of Jesus. And that after you do that, then you begin to take communion, the Lord's Supper, as a celebration meal that reminds you of God's promises to you. So baptism comes first, then the Lord's Supper comes second. Well, I was the only person in my family that didn't get to take the Lord's Supper. Imagine how lame that felt. Here we are, my two older sisters, they're taking the cup and they're taking the juice and the cracker, and it just goes right past me. And I'm thinking, look, if I'm going to miss watching wrestling on Sunday morning, I'm going to at least get the juice and the bread, right? You know? If I'm going to get up and put these nice clothes on, I'm going to at least participate in what's going on. So I figured out what I had to do. I had to walk the aisle and go down there and pray a prayer and then get dunked. And then I was in. I was participating in a religious ceremony. I was trying to be religious. I was trying to fit in at church. But I had not had a change of heart. I had not said, Jesus, I need to stop being king and I need you to be king in my life. Repentance had not happened. Conversion had not happened. I was just trying to be religious. And maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. You're trying to be religious. But God says, you don't have to be religious. Jesus fulfilled the law, and I'll clothe you with my righteousness and give you a relationship with me. Right? This is the good news of the gospel. You can have a relationship with God. You don't have to be religious. You can have a real living relationship with God. Or maybe you find yourself this morning in a similar place to me. You're like, yeah, all my friends, they were getting baptized. They were going down forward. They were praying a prayer. They were doing all that deal. I just jumped in and I followed what everybody else was doing. Well, that was like when I was 10. So when I was 12, is when I became broken and convicted of my sin, and I opened up my heart in faith, and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's when I began a real relationship with God. And when I was 13, I was sitting like where you're sitting, and I was listening to a sermon about baptism and about having your baptism in order biblically. In other words, you become a believer, you become a follower of Jesus, and then you're baptized. And the Holy Spirit just made it so clear to me that day. The Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and he said, you weren't baptized as a believer. You were just dunked before you became a believer. And that's what I call it. I got dunked when I was 10. I got baptized when I was 13. And I use that terminology because of the great meaning of baptism that I just explained to you from God's word. I wasn't baptized twice. I was dunked once and I was baptized once. Do you see it? Do you see it? So when I was 13, the tradition in my church was we walked an aisle and we talked with the pastor. I said, I need to be baptized. What happened when I was 10? I was just dunked. And so this morning, I invite you to consider, and what we invite you to do is just to fill out this card. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're like, man, my story's your story, Pastor. Like, that's exactly what happened with me. I felt a little pressure from my parents, or everybody was doing it, or I couldn't take the Lord's Supper, and I wanted to fit in at church, so I was baptized, or I was dunked. But I need to be baptized because later when I was 20 years old or later when I was 15 years old or later when I was 35 years old, I truly opened up my heart to Jesus and I became a genuine follower of Jesus. I just invite you today to say, I want to be baptized. Check this card out. Leave it in your seat when you leave today or bring it to the 7-minute party. Next week, we're going to baptize. It is going to be a party. And I want you in on the party if that's what Jesus is saying to your heart today. So who else should not get baptized? People who are unsure. No, let's talk, let's pray. If you're not sure, let's talk about it. Don't step into it being unsure. That kind of ceremony has so much meaning that when you go down under the water, I mean, that is a vulnerable position to be in, isn't it? Someone holding their hand over your face underwater. It's quite a vulnerable position to be in. And so we don't want you to be unsure of what happened in your heart and in your life and unsure of what God did. So when we bring you up out of the water, we want you to know. And in that moment, we want it to be an amazing spiritual celebration for you. So that when you're brought up, you come out of that water saying, yes, I'm free. I'm free. Jesus has set me free. And I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. So if you're not sure, let's talk. Let's pray. People who should not get baptized are people who are pressured to do so. So if mommy and daddy are pressuring you to get baptized, if your spouse is pressuring you to get baptized, you don't need to do it. This is about you and the living God. This is about what Jesus has done in your life, and it needs to have the kind of meaning that we're talking about here. Now, as a pastor, I have people coming up to me all the time that want to get baptized because they're recommitting their life to Jesus. Now, they became a Christian at some point in time in their life. They became a follower of Jesus at some point, and then they were baptized as a real follower of Jesus. But then they had this season where they strayed from the Lord, and they came back to God. And they're so grateful that God welcomed them back. They're so grateful that God loved them again. You know, he never stopped loving them, but they're experiencing God's love again. They're so thankful that, man, they just want to do it to tell God how much they love him, right? No, listen, baptism doesn't tell anybody how much you love God. It tells everybody how much God loves you. Do you see it? So, you know, like when we baptize people, sometimes we say things like, I'm so proud of you. But really, we just need to say, God, we're so thankful for you, right? Because baptism is this picture of his rescue. It's not like we came to our senses and we're so smart and we're so wise and we're so good and we're so spiritual because we obeyed Jesus through baptism. No, we were snakes, and Jesus loves snakes, and he rescued me out of my snakiness, right? And he's taken out my heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh. So who should be baptized? Believers. Followers of Jesus should be baptized. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, so as you're turning there, let's just be really clear about this. There's nothing to be scared about with baptism. And there's everything to celebrate about it. And if you're a teenager or an adult or wherever you find yourself, if you know Jesus is Lord in your life and you know he's saved you and you've not been baptized after that experience of him saving you, you need to obey the Lord Jesus and be baptized. You need to do it out of love for him. As an expression of love in your heart, you need to say, Jesus, I don't want to be ashamed of you. I don't want to be afraid to be humiliated, you know, like have my hair wet in front of everybody. No, I think going under the water saying we're snakes is a little more humiliating than getting our hair wet, right? Right. And you need to follow the Lord in baptism. In what order should we be baptized? How does this work out? So just real clearly, I want you to see this in Scripture. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So here's the order that the Lord Jesus gives us here. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's what happens first. That's what happens first is disciples are made. You become a believer. I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward as we're just closing up the message today. You become a believer. And then look at the next step. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So when someone becomes a disciple, a follower of Jesus, look at verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So when we baptize, that's what we say. I baptize you, my sister. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the way we do it because that's the way Jesus said to do it. We celebrate. We celebrate God our Father and Jesus the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And we do that after someone becomes a disciple. Make disciples, baptize them, and then look at the next part. Teaching them, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You see, when Jesus saves you, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of eternal life. He saves you, and then you declare it to everybody. And then you begin to learn and obey. You begin to learn what he has to say, and you begin to obey him because you love him. This is the good news. Next week's going to be a party, and if you're a follower of Jesus that's never been baptized, don't miss out. Don't miss out. If your faith tradition was one was where you were sprinkled as a baby, I celebrate that with you today. I celebrate that with you today. I know that's meaningful to your family and maybe very meaningful to you, but let's celebrate once again what Jesus has now done in your life as an adult. And let's tell the world, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He saved me. He washed me clean. He gave me a new life. He turned his love toward me, and we'll celebrate this morning. Well, I can't wait. I wish it was tomorrow. I wish it was today. But I wanted to preach on it. I wanted to preach on it the week before we did baptism because I didn't want anybody to feel like unnecessary pressure from the preacher. You know what I mean? I mean, some of you might need to think about this for a couple of days. Maybe you're like a processor, right? Like feeling all stressed out even right now. Like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Here's what you don't need to do. Don't run from God like Jonah. Run to him with the question of, do I need to be baptized? Do I need to be baptized? And maybe you're curious and you want to talk with a pastor. Just indicate that on that card. There's a place on that card. You put your phone number, put your email address down. We'd love to talk with it. It's going to be fun. We're going to do it outside. It's going to be right over here in the open air breezeway. It's going to be great. We're going to have plenty of towels for you. I mean, we're just going to go nuts. It's going to be a party. You guys ready for it? It's going to be great. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that Jesus tasted your wrath for us so that we would never have to. Lord, I pray that that truth of your love and your grace would just erupt in people's hearts this morning, Lord. As we sing to you today, we would just be certain that we're loved by God, we're adopted by you, Lord, that we're secure in your love today because of Jesus. Lord, thank you. We celebrate you. We celebrate your cross and your resurrection, and we look forward to baptism Sunday next Sunday. Let it be a party in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.